And now for a little change of pace, we're going to talk about the art of the margarita. There's no shortage of margaritas in town, and today we're talking to J.R. Rodriguez from Ambar at the Plaza Hotel about said margaritas. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me.
So, JR, do you remember or do you have a margarita memory or something that comes to mind when you think of a margarita?
Oh, man. I think everybody has that memory for margaritas. Actually, when I first moved to El Paso, my first memory of the margarita is the Carlos and Mickey's, that big fishbowl margarita.
Oh, yeah. The one as big as your head. Yeah.
Yeah. That was like my first margarita. You know, we were in town where everybody was eating lunch or dinner or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, this serves two, but you can only have one if you're going to drink it by yourself. And I was like, sure, I'll take it out. And it was like a big old fishbowl. And I was like, my earliest memory of a margarita. And then, I mean, you know, obviously after that, you just kind of drink them as they come when you see them on different menus and stuff. So,
and you know what's funny is you actually remember that margarita because it's a crazy margarita. I remember my friend and I having like, oh yeah, well we can only have one. We're each gonna have two. There was no way. Like you drink one and you're done.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like epic. I think they say it's like four or five drinks in one. I can't remember exactly what they say, but I mean it's like whoa.
I hear you. Okay, so now you're at Ambar. I understand that Ambar has quite the selection of tequila. Is this a true statement?
Oh, man. This collection of tequila is, and not just tequila. I mean, really, we call them, agave spirits. I mean, because we have mezcal, we've got sotol, we've got tequila, obviously. And the amount of work it went to finding all these and just kind of like getting all these artisanal brands and these smaller boutique tequilerias and mezcalerias in town was a huge undertaking. And then finding like rare tequilas, one-off bottles from like allocated tequilas that are like, oh, we can only have four in the state of Texas, but we have one or whatever the case. And we're just, you know, kind of working with the vendors throughout the opening. But yeah, we have over 800 tequilas on our wall of different mezcals, sotols, and tequila. So it's a lot.
So are you the guy that had to taste all 800 of them to make sure that they are of quality for Ambar?
I wish I got to taste them all. I tasted some, tasted a lot of them. I mean, most of the time it was just like, oh, you have it? Bring it on. As long as it was 100% agave, we were kind of just kind of moving throughout that, getting through that portion of it. But I mean, people think like, oh, all tequila is the same.
No, no, sir.
No, absolutely not. I mean, some of it is smoother. Some of it is a little bit like more bitter. Like it just, I mean, it's truly an art. And I think people don't appreciate tequila because I think people think like, oh, tequila. They remember back in their early drinking days when they're like, oh, shot, shot, shot. Oh, like Jose Cuervo, for example, you know, and they're like, oh, I hate tequila, you know, because it's like, it's my, you know, it gives me the biggest hangover. However, I mean, if you spend a little time and like tequila is like super artisanal. I mean, it's like, tequila is like what scotch is to Ireland, you know, it's like, I mean, like it's huge. I mean, it's like, and you can probably tell with all the celebrities, everybody wants to open a tequila brand nowadays, you know?
That's true. I think there's like, what is it? Casamigos, isn't that George Clooney?
Yeah, sold it for over $1 billion to like, I think Diageo or something like that. One of the bigger, but like, unfortunately, because of some of that, like, I mean, agave production has like really increased because I mean, so it's harder to like it's more rare now. I mean, so... But because of like the popularity that the actors and everybody else put behind it, I mean, I think The Rock has a tequila brand now too. So, and it's surpassing George Clooney's brand. So,
ooh. So we're talking about the margarita, and you know, I mean, or at least the lore is that the first margarita was made in Ciudad Juarez at the Kentucky Club.
Kentucky Club, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know the entire story behind that one, but I mean, I think I do know that. There's like four stories out there and that's one of them. And I was like, oh, make my wife something. And the guy had lemons and sugar or something. And he just kind of like threw it all together. And everyone was like, oh, and the lady's name was Margarita. So that's what he named it. He named it after the man's wife or something. I guess they didn't have anything for her to drink that she liked. Or they didn't have any wine, I think was the story or something.
So what constitutes a good margarita?
Think fresh ingredients. I mean, the fresher the ingredients, the better. I mean, like, so like for us, for example, I mean, we squeeze our own lime juice, we make our own sweet and sour. When we do like fruity margaritas, like fruitier, like with strawberries or basil or whatever, we get fresh basil, fresh strawberries, make our own purees, we make everything from scratch. And I think that's building a cocktail is just better, like with fresh ingredients and like just kind of like when you cook, the better the ingredient, the better the end result. I don't like to use like really high-end tequila. I feel like it's kind of insulting to the tequila, but I mean, also the better the tequila, the better the margaritas and the taste, obviously, as well.
It's this fine blend, right? If it's a sipping tequila, don't put it in a margarita. Like, enjoy it slowly. But what spectrum of quality of margarita? Because you're right. If it's in a bottle that bounces, gross. but like, if it's, I'm assuming it's silver tequila is probably the one to use, or does it matter?
So personally, I like to use Reposado. There's a little bit of aging involved in that. So there's got a little bit of that, those notes that take over from the oak of from aging the actual tequila. Silver tequila is just like, kind of like, here you go. Silver tequila is like, they made it off the batch and then here you go. We're just kind of shoveling it through to like get the, I mean, not that it's not quality product also, but I mean, it's really just bottle and go.
It hasn't been aged. It hasn't done its thing.
Correct. And then Reposado gives it a little time to rest. It gives it a little time to age in the barrel. You got a little bit of like, the barrel gives it some vanilla notes, some honey notes, depending on what kind of barrel they're using. You know, it's a little bit smoother because it's let the alcohol kind of settle down a little bit. And then obviously the añejos and stuff like that, it goes a little bit higher. So not that a silver tequila doesn't make a good margarita, but
Reposado is where you're at.
What I personally like to use for a margarita.
So how are we choosing, or how do we choose the right tequila for a margarita? We've established that JR likes Reposado, but beyond that, you go to any one of our larger retailers or even to your restaurant and like, how do I pick the tequila? What's a good kind of rule of thumb for that when you're putting it in a margarita?
So for those of us who are listening, if they come to Ambar, we've already picked the tequila for you. So.
Done.
I like to say like, so, you know, you have your mass produced tequilas, like your Patron, you have your like Jimador, you have your Don Julio, and then you have your like kind of more boutique-y tequilas. And not to say that the mass produced are bad per se, but I think the more artisanal ones take a little bit more time to like enjoy the art of making said tequilas. So I really like to go with like lesser known brands to like mix, like Reposado still, but like still like lesser known brands that you may not like see them everywhere, but you're like, oh, like Los Altos is it's a big brand, but like not a lot of people use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Casa Noble is a huge brand also, but like, you know, people like generally say like, oh, Patron, like Don Julio. And that's kind of like, now you think Clase Azul now is like the newer, everybody's like asking for Clase Azul because it's a cool little ceramic bottle and it tastes delicious, a little bit more pricey as well. So I wouldn't put that in a margarita, but yeah, I like the like, just a little bit, something that's a little bit more like, more artsy, if you will.
Okay, so artsy, but not exactly top shelf.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, now, another controversial question for you. Triple Sec, Contreau, Grand Marnier, what do we do with our lives here? Well, first of all, what are the differences? Because I too cannot articulate. I just know that I like one over the other. I will tell you mine if you tell me yours. But can you first tell us what the differences are between Triple Sec, Contreau, and Grand Marnier?
More of the same thing, like the artisanal side of it. I mean, it's still an orange liqueur. And those particular brands is just mainly the aging of how they're producing the liqueur from start to finish. So Triple Sec would be like the equivalent to like the silver tequila we talked about. It's just kind of
okay.
Bottle and go. And then the Cointreau, they take a little bit more time. It's more artisanal, like more, they cook a little bit longer. They kind of they're distilling it a little bit differently. It's more botanical, if you will. And then Grand Marnier is just like, again, like the añejo of orange tequilas, if you will.
Am I assuming wrong if I think you're a Grand Marnier kind of a guy?
I'm a Cointreau, Grand Marnier, like it just depending on what I'm doing. I love margaritas. That's kind of like if you're going to open up with tequila, you're going to kind of like, oh, I'll have a margarita just to kind of sit down and enjoy where the company you're with. And then kind of, and I'm a sipping tequila type of guy. So I'm really like Casa Dragones. I like the Casa Azul, the, you know, those types of tequila. We have a really good one called Mandala. It's eight years in oak. So it's really, and it's really smooth. I mean, it just kind of goes down like butter. Like you can't even taste it. It's fantastic.
Wow.
I hate to keep pitching Ambar, but I think we're the only place that has this particular tequila. And it's like, wow.
Well, it's kind of your job, JR. I mean, you work at Ambar. You have the largest selection of tequila in town. These things are not, they're probably not in, Texas.
I would go on a limb and say we probably have one of the largest tequilas in the U.S.
No way.
If anybody's listening can challenge that, I promise. Not tequila, but agave spirits. I'm sorry. So we have the largest agave selection in the U.S. I would challenge anybody to tell me they have more.
I mean, I think it's a challenge that most folks would gladly accept. I mean, even just, just to go do some researching. So what goes into your ambar margarita then? Tell us that.
We make our own sweet and sour, so it's lemon, lime, and then a simple syrup. So we kind of make our own sweet and sour. We're using quemador for our well. So we have a really top shelf, not top shelf, but we have a different well than everybody else. Everybody's kind of like all our well liqueurs and tequilas and liquors are all.
They're good.
Tier. Most places have them as a call brand, but we have them a little bit. So we're a little upper scale on that end as well. So we use quemador reposado and we use Cointreau for our house tequila. And then, so we use fresh squeezed orange juice as well. So we put a splash of fresh squeezed orange juice as well. And then we shake it and then we pour it into a glass with ice and lime and we're good to go.
Dude, that sounds delicious. I'm a Cointreau for the record. I did it. I had an out of myself, but I love Cointreau in my margaritas. And I don't know why, because you're right. Grand Marnier tastes good too. Just
yeah. I mean, it's all kind of the same, so to speak. I mean, like, again, like I said, it's just like, and some people can taste it out of a batch and some people can. It's just like, I mean, and it's getting mixed up with everything else. So it's a little bit harder to distinguish that, but I mean, some people like it.
So I know we've been talking about margaritas mainly just because y'all make an amazing margarita, but talk to us about mezcal, because I know mezcal's hot right now, but what is the difference between a mezcal and a tequila if you're explaining to somebody just in layman's terms?
So basically it's the same thing as like tequila needs to be made in Jalisco, in that kind of area, highlands of Jalisco, and mezcal could be made anywhere in Mexico. It's sort of the same process. Tequila's a little bit got that smokier taste to it. However, if they distill it like a tequila, for example, but it's made in Ciudad Juárez, for example, it would be called a mezcal because it's not made in the area of tequila, sort of like, you know, champagne in France and sparkling wine everywhere else, you know, or Prosecco in Italy or whatever the differences, or Cava in Spain. It has to be made in that specific area in order for it to be called tequila. If it's made anywhere else, it's called mezcal.
So there's nothing to the whole smokiness, because I feel like, and this is my just idea, that mezcal tastes smokier than tequila, but is that the case?
So they do smoke the piñas. So so it's made, the process is made a little bit differently. Well, set a lot differently, but I guess the point to what I was saying was like, they could distill it exactly the way they would do a tequila in any other city or country or state, but they would have to call it mezcal because it wasn't made in Jalisco. Mezcal itself, if they're making a true mezcal, they do smoke the piñas and they cover with like, so they do different things. Like, so there's a mezcal pechuga, for example, that they actually hang like chicken breasts to get a kind of a milkier feeling. So when they're smoking it, there's chicken breasts hanging by the side. So it's like kind of cooking the chicken breast at the same time as it's smoking the actual piñas. So it's called pechuga, but it's like super creamy when you taste it. Also smoky, but you got that creaminess to it. They also do like, you know, you have a mezcal, they do like piña flavor. Same thing, they're smoking, they prop up piñas around it. So when they're smoking it, it's getting that flavor. It's not like they're infusing it. It's just getting the flavors of the skin piña. So it's very artisanal. So it's a little bit different though.
And we can taste it all at Ambar.
And you can taste every single one of them here at Ambar.
Today, my guest has been J.R. Rodriguez from Ambar at the Plaza Hotel. Let them make you a drink or head on down and taste some of their agave spirits. And that kind of covers the gamut. And we challenge anybody who says that they have a larger selection or one of the largest selections in the U.S., right? That is...
I could say the largest. Let's say the largest, because I want to come back and tell me they have bigger.
All right, let's do this. Challenge, let's put it out there. If you have the largest agave spirits collection, we want to know, because Ambar is the home of the largest collection.
Yeah.
JR, thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.